Actually, the verses that I'm going to share with you from Acts chapter 2 are verses 1 through 12, entitled, The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his or her own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? What a powerful question. What does this mean? These people gathered together from all kinds of different places, speaking all kinds of different languages, each one coming there for a different reason, each one having a different agenda. It was a room filled with me's and them's. And yet, in the middle of it all, God was making and molding a new people. God was shaping together and filling up a group of people that would become an us in a way that had never been experienced before. The Holy Spirit came into that place where the people were gathered with a gift of hospitality that they would never forget. You know, back on May 10th, it was the day after Mother's Day. For those of you who remember Mother's Day, there's something that happened that day. Remember what the weather was like that day? It snowed. Well, I got on a plane the next morning and headed to a conference in Orlando where people gathered from all across the country, many of them speaking all kinds of different languages. Not only physical languages, not only native tongue languages, but they were all from different faith-based organizations and non-profit organizations that came together to talk about disaster response and disaster preparedness in communities and states and across the country. Not only look at how we respond to things, but look at how to be prepared to respond to those things. And this is my second year going to this conference, and there's a lot of people that gather there. And they're not people that I work with on a regular basis. I don't have strong relationships with them. And so it's always that little bit of an awkward feeling when you first get there. And the first day, there wasn't a whole lot of classes that were going on after I had landed and got to the airport, which was got to the hotel, which was the Hilton right at Disney. And so I really didn't have an agenda. I didn't have a schedule. I didn't know what to do with my time. Somebody who's used to having things that have to be done in a certain way, you know, that leaves you a little bit anxious in itself. What are you going to do with that when you don't know anybody? Well, I hadn't had lunch yet. Because of the flight times, I really hadn't eaten much of a breakfast either. So I decided that I'd run downstairs and try to find something to eat. Well, the only problem was I couldn't find a hamburger for under $14, and I couldn't find spaghetti for under $17. So I decided I'd wander across the street to downtown Disney, which was, of course, I say wander across the street, but it was actually six lanes wide. Thank God for crosswalks and lights that help you get there. And I didn't save any money going over there, but there were a lot more options of food. And it was nice to be outside without the snow. It was warm, it was sunny, there was a beautiful breeze blowing on the lake. So it was a great spot to sit down and watch people. Something I like to do because somewhere in the middle of it all, I think I learn about life. My kids will probably tell you it's just a place I go to overthink life. But I sat there watching people go by, watching life happen. And like I said, it was a beautiful day, but suddenly deep down inside, I felt a little bit uneasy. I felt a little bit anxious. In fact, I realized I felt a little bit out of place. Now here I am in a place that specializes in hospitality. I mean, let's face it, there's nobody that does it like Disney when it comes to hospitality. Their TV ads, their internet ads, the things they put in magazines, the things they put in books, the things that their employees are taught to say to others. Everything is about hospitality. They have signs that guide you anywhere you want to go and a few places that you might not want to go. They have signs in all kinds of different languages, so if you come there from another place, you'll be able to find your way because they reach out to an international audience. They have employees that are trained in hospitality and come here from all around the world. Not because they want to be an equal opportunity employer, but because they know the value of people being able to relate to others. People right from the top of that organization to the bottom are trained in hospitality. And some of the most hospitable people that help others feel welcome are those who make the least money. They're those who are dressed to the T to take care of the things that nobody else would want to do, like taking out the trash and sweeping up the street corners. Because even their facility is it's kept in a certain way so that people would feel welcome. But yet, in the middle of it all, I felt out of place. And as I began to think about it, I suddenly realized why. Because as I looked around, as I walked in and out of different restaurants and different shops, trying to figure out where I was going to eat, looking for the best bargain that might be hidden in the middle of it all, I realized it was really hard to find somebody else just like me. The place was filled with mothers, with moms and dads that were bringing their kids there, some for the first time, some for the who knows how many times. It was filled with single moms running around with their kids. It was filled with single dads running around with their kids. There were people that were there, couples that were there on their honeymoon, or just getting away to get to know each other. There were grandparents that had come there with their grandkids, and there were families of all kinds of generations that had gathered there. There were some grandparents that had come alone just because they wanted to come recapture their childhood and just have fun for a while. But it seemed like single men over the age of 40 were extinct. Even if there was a single man running around, I just assumed it was somebody who was trying to avoid a trip into the shop next door and was waiting for their spouse or children to come out. Deep down inside of me, I was asking the question, is there anybody else here like me? Is there anybody here who speaks my language? Is there anybody here that I can relate to in life? And suddenly I found myself thinking about the church. The times that I've walked into churches for the first time. And I thought about people that walked through the doors of this church for the first time. I wonder if that question is there for them, because I know it always has been for me. Is there anybody there like me? Is there anybody there that I'm going to be able to relate to? Now you might be saying, what in the world does this have to do with Pentecost, Pastor? But God overcame those very same issues on Pentecost. There were people that were God-fearing Jews from all over the place that had come together, wondering if they were going to find anybody else there that was just like them. If there was anybody there that they could speak to and understand. If there was anybody there that could share just a little something about what God was doing in a way that they could understand it. And that's exactly what God did. When God showed up, it sounded like a violent wind coming through the place. It was like an earthquake shaking the place. There was something that was like tongues of fire sitting on people's heads. It was a dramatic moment, is what the Scripture is telling us. But the most dramatic thing was not the things they were hearing in the sounds of wind or the tongues of fire. The most amazing thing was the fact that all of these people could hear these Galileans speaking in a language that they understood. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, what does that have to do with us? I'm pretty sure there's nobody from Parthenia that walks through the doors. There's not a whole lot of folks that are coming here from Rome. But yet, every week we gather with people who come from all kinds of different places, from all kinds of different situations in life. Every day as we walk through this community that we're so blessed to live in, we meet people who are asking those same questions. I wonder how we're doing with radical hospitality. I wonder how we're doing at really connecting deep down at the heart level with people in our lives, with people in the church, with people that we meet and gather with every Sunday. You know, the church is probably one of the organizations in the world that struggles the most with change. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean change the light bulb? My great-great-grandfather gave that. And while we laugh, we struggle with that. But the problem is, we live in a world that's always changing, that's filled with all kinds of people, and we all speak different languages. Yet we're all not so different when we really get right down to it and are willing to share life with one another. Even though we come from, you know, as I went through the week and connected with different people, while it probably wasn't visitors at Disney I was connecting with, I connected with a lot of different people that I'd never met before from across the country. And we all came from different generations, and we all came from different family backgrounds. But yet there were places that we all connected, dealing with the same trials and tribulations and celebrating the same joys in life. It's God who helps us connect in those deep down places. So how does that happen? And what does that mean for us in a practical level today? Well, we could lift up all kinds of things. We could talk about that all day long and spend a little bit of time here during breakfast tomorrow as well, probably. But I'll just lift up to you three things. First of all, those disciples who spoke out so boldly in ways that others could understand them that day. They weren't pastors that had ever been to seminary. They weren't people who had been studying the faith their whole life. They were fishermen and farmers and tax collectors and everyday people that had been following Christ and whose lives had been turned upside down when He died, and they turned upside down again when He rose again, and now it was turned upside down again when He descended into heaven. There were people who were familiar with living by faith in the changing seasons that they had to deal with. They weren't gathered there by chance. They were waiting and willing. They were waiting because God had called them to wait and to pray. Jesus had said, "Go and back to Jerusalem. Go back into the midst of your everyday life and know that God's going to show up again. Know that the Holy Spirit that I've been teaching you about all along is coming." Second, they were willing to speak. Whether they were filled with fear, whether they were filled with doubt, whether they were wondering what others were going to do with it, it didn't matter. They were willing to speak. I once heard that God doesn't work through parked cars. Anybody ever hear that one? If you haven't, you have now. God doesn't work through parked cars. God didn't make us to be puppets. God has given each and every one of us a free will. God has given each one of us 24 hours a day in a day. And while we don't know how many years we'll live here, we've got that time to do something with. We can partner with God, we can do it on our own. They partnered with God, and God spoke through them in a special way. And something mighty happened. And third, like I said, these folks weren't somebody who'd graduated from seminary. They weren't somebody who were trying to come up with some effective sermon to put out there on a Sunday morning. They were disciples sharing their story. When Peter stood up and spoke boldly to the folks that were gathered there, if you read on in Acts chapter 2, he didn't come out with all these eloquent things. He simply shared his faith. He shared what he'd seen happen. He shared what it was like to walk with Jesus. He shared what it was like to see Jesus die on a cross. He shared what it was like to see Him rise up again. And suddenly in the middle of it all, God began telling the people what it all meant for the future. When this happened, the church came alive. But it not only did it come alive, but it grew. If you continue to read through Acts, you'll continue to see how that church didn't grow one or two people at a time. It grew by hundreds and thousands at a time. The entire world was being changed right before their eyes. And it all started with these few people gathered in a room waiting to see what God was going to do next when they couldn't figure it out. And in over 2,000 years, nothing's changed. God still continues to work in the same way. So are we listening? Are we ready to not only believe in the Holy Spirit, but to receive the Holy Spirit that God pours out every day to make this world a different place? We join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give You thanks for the gift of life. We give You thanks for Your promise to be with us always. We give You thanks that no matter where we are, no matter what we're facing, You promise to be with us. And it's by Your Holy Spirit that Your presence is made known. Not only to us, but to the lives of others as well. Lord, we pray that as we continue to celebrate the gift of Pentecost to the church and to this world that we live in, we pray that You continue to pour Your Holy Spirit into us and through us. That You continue to teach us to listen. That You'd help us to recognize the faith story that each and every one of us has. And Lord, we pray that You'd teach us to speak it in language that others will understand. That You might continue to not only transform our lives from the inside out, but to change this world in ways we could never dream of asking. So Lord, we ask these things today by faith. Not knowing what You might do next, but knowing because of Your great and never-ending love, it's got to be good. Amen.